show you some of these slides and talk about our work. There we go. Did I do that or did y'all do that? I did it? Sweet, because I've been pushing like 10 times and anything happened. But it worked, I guess. Let me try to go back. Hey, look. I know I did that. All right. Let me introduce my family. If you were in Sunday school, J.D. mentioned about my daughter being on E-Team. She's in Kazakhstan right now, and she'll be headed home tomorrow or the next day. So I think over there, tomorrow is today. Figure that out. So I think she's heading home tomorrow, which is day after tomorrow for us. She's part of a mission team over there. My oldest daughter, which is, I get them confused sometimes, she's on the right there on the left side. Her name is Kinsley. Kinsley is in Ohio, I think, now. She's singing with the Bible College out of Gallatin. They've been in the Ohio State meeting, and so she's at a church there today. She's been traveling around the last few years with Rejoice and just sharing her testimony and her love for God and music. And she'll be a senior next year. She's majoring in education, so she'll be a teacher. Kyla will be a freshman, and she's going into education, and I think her emphasis will be missions as well. These girls love the Lord, and they're passionate about winning people to Christ. And if you want your kids to be involved in winning people to Christ, they must see the passion from their parents. They've got to see that you've got to involve them in reaching people. My girls have been very patient with me through the years of standing in Walmart for hours while I talk to people or sitting in the car while I'm out in the parking lot. But I'm very grateful. My wife, Paula, you see her there. She is moving a little slow today because when we bought our house over in Seymour, or Sevierville area, we've had to do a lot of work on it, and it's been driving me nuts. So we're not looking for sympathy, just prayer, because we're not as young as we used to be. It's hard doing all that stuff now. So gratefully asking the Lord that this will be our last move. But that's her. You can talk to her and encourage her and lift her up in the Lord. 24/7, you see that everywhere. There's 24/7 gyms. There's 24/7 emergency rooms. There's always something that says 24/7. You see it everywhere. So why not transform our minds in thinking about 24/7 church? Like us as believers being Christians every day, not just on Sundays, where we actually live out that life. And the verse in Acts 2:47, praising God, having faith with all the people of the Lord, added to the church. What's that word there? Daily. We also believe 24/7 we should be evangelizing. Don't you?
Yes, sir.
He does. Okay, now look, if I say don't you, and I'm looking specifically at you, I at least need a nod, okay? You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Yep. So we believe, the Bible teaches, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. You believe that as well? If you believe the Bible. So if the Lord's not willing that any should perish, all come to repentance. If we believe that He cared so much for the church, He died for the church. If we believe the Great Commission, that He's commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, He wants people to be saved daily. Why aren't we seeing what God's will for the church is today? Why aren't we seeing it? Is it God's fault? Obviously it has to be, right? Because we're not going to take the blame. It must be the preacher's fault, right? Because we're not going to take the blame. It must be those missionaries' fault. Why aren't we seeing people today added to the church daily? It's always got to be someone else's fault because we're not going to take the blame for this. But can I encourage you to believe today that it is your fault? People are dying every day going to hell because you and me, we're not talking to people about Jesus. As a matter of fact, we're more interested in things that we like to talk about, such as, I grew up in a little small town in rural Alabama. Does anybody say Roll Tide here? They don't say that. What do y'all holler over here? any Vols fans? A couple? Yeah. Carolina? Wolfpack? No Wolfpack, huh? We cheer for... Any of y'all like to fish? Any fishermen? Hunters? Anybody like to hunt? What do y'all like to do? I can't make a connection with just a fisherman here. Y'all like to work? Work all the time? I met a guy one day, and I said, hey, let's see what we got in common. You know, I was thinking that. So I was like, so you like to hunt and fish? No. You play ball, sports? No. I'm like, do you like to eat? He's like, no, not really. I said, dude, we got nothing in common. He said, well, he said, I work all the time. I don't have time to do anything. I said, we're not going to get along. You work all the time, and I try hard not to work, you know, so it's like nothing we do. You got to understand, though, we have reasons of why we don't tell people about Jesus. We make excuses. But there are things that we do like to talk about. We'd like to talk about things we're more proficient in, things we know about. You ask me about the deer that I've killed or the fish that I have mounted. You ask me about things that I'm familiar with. I can talk about it more comfortably. Most people don't talk about Jesus because they're not really comfortable talking about Jesus. Most people in church today, most people that say, Lord, Lord, he's going to say, I never knew you. We want to come to church and get our boxes checked so we have proof when we meet Jesus that we did what they said do so we can check our boxes. Now, I deserve to go to heaven based on what I did. And we do not deserve to go to heaven based on what we did. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We only go to heaven based on what he did for us. But if we are living for Christ, we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. It's all in. And we do those things that he has asked us to do. You want to know how I can tell if you're a follower of Christ? Because you are following his ways. You don't know how I can tell? Growing up, my dad taught me some things. You know how I can tell an apple tree from a peach tree? We had apple trees at our house. We had peach trees at our house. There's one way that is proves it all. It's not the bark. I sometimes get confused on trees that I don't see the fruit, and it's not the bark. It's not the leaves. I've got some poison ivy on me right now. I got a steroid shot the other day. I've got calamine lotion all over me. I'm still, my wife and I were on the phone looking at images of poison ivy, poison oak. Is that it? Is that it? I got this Roundup poison stuff that's supposed to kill everything. I'm a retaliator. The poison got to me and I got to it. But I also got to everything else because I just couldn't tell. But one way I can tell you, when I was a kid, I'd walk out in the yard, I could tell a peach tree because it had peaches on it. I knew. I could tell the apple tree because it had apples on it. I could tell the plum tree because it had plums on it. By the way, I could differentiate too between the apple trees. Some of the apple trees were yellow delicious. I could tell because the peeling on that apple was yellow. The world and the church are becoming so similar, it's hard to differentiate Christians from lost people. There's not a lot separating us. The proof that we have that we are believers many times rests upon our church attendance. Well, I go to church. I would like to think that the fruit of a Christian would be another Christian. I'm not talking about fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of a Christian should be other Christians. So, Brother Rodney, here's what I'm afraid's happened. It's gonna make your wheels start spinning, okay? I believe as a church, here's what we've developed. We've developed a group of people that have the list of laws, rules, that this is what you want to do, like J.D. talked about in Sunday school. When you get saved, you come to church, you stop doing bad stuff, you're good. All right, you made a decision to serve the Lord, and here's what you do to serve the Lord. And what we've created is an environment of people that will hear the word, but they're not doing the word. It's one thing for me to tell you what to do. It's another thing for me to lead you in what to do. And that's where the difficulty comes in. People have been told to be an apple tree. But how do we do that? So what we've learned to do is to be an apple tree or to be a Christian. We just stand and look like we're supposed to, but yet we're not producing fruit. We look like an apple tree. We even blow with the wind like an apple tree. We can even have some leaves that look like apple tree leaves, but there's no fruit. If we really want to be a child of God, we want to be doing the same thing Jesus came to do when he was here, seeking those that are lost. Well, how do we do that? I'll give you an example of how we do it. We look for opportunities. This week, my wife and I, we were trying to we want to organize our garage, because right now everything in our, we got a mess. I ain't gonna lie to you, it's just a mess. So we're trying to get these bins that we can at least organize some stuff. So I'm trying to figure out how I can get a porch swing into a bin like this, like a porch swing is this way and all that. So I saw on Marketplace, anybody ever look at Marketplace? It's this Facebook thing we can buy and sell stuff. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. I found these bins. So we go to this girl, and we're trying to buy these bins to store stuff. So I noticed while she's talking, and she's, you know, got her hand up doing this kind of thing, and I noticed a tattoo right here on her arm. Anybody have tattoos? They're usually, you get them for a purpose. Like, there's a part in your life, or there's something special in your life. That's why you got it. So this girl had a tattoo, and her tattoo said, "Everything happens for a reason." Now, it was a long one, but, you know, maybe two lines. I wasn't quite sure. I couldn't make it all out. So I'm like, okay, what does that say, you know, while we're talking? And she said, "Everything happens for a reason." Well, during the conversation, I realized God had put us there for a reason. And it wasn't to buy those bins. After we got to talking to her, I shared with her that I was actually a pastor. "Do you still believe everything happens for a reason?" She said, "Absolutely." I said, "So then you believe like I do that it's an opportunity." We got back in the car and we left. And before we got down the road very far, she had messaged me and how that she had already given up on hope. And she definitely believed and knew that God had sent me there for her. We invited her to eat breakfast yesterday morning. We're supposed to go eat dinner with them this week. One night this week. We have to look for opportunities. Can I tell you something? If you really say that you love people and you want them to be saved and you want to know more about them, you're going to invest in them. You're going to spend time with them. Didn't Jesus set the example? Didn't he do that for us? Didn't he do that when he was living here? Didn't he give himself for others? The last I checked, I was reading that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Now, nowadays, we got some fine pillows. We got some fine places to live. We are too consumed about the American way of church and life that we forget about the Jesus way. No sacrifices. No help. How shall they call on him and they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and they have not heard? They have not heard. You mean to tell me that folks in your area right here in the Knoxville area, Hardin Valley, this road here, folks have not heard about Jesus? I'm going to prove to you why they haven't. When's the last time you've mentioned Jesus to someone outside the church walls? When's the last time you said Jesus' name? I'm not talking about, I'm going to invite you to a church. I'm talking about, when's the last time you said, "Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I talk to you about Jesus?" We used to sing the song when I was a kid. Jesus, 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 there's just something about the name. I'm glad we've stopped singing it. Because I'm going to tell you something. To the church today, there's nothing about that name that's special because we never talk about him. Wow. Either stop singing it, stop saying it, or live it. The reason our churches, we're not filling them up because we're not excited about what Jesus did in our life. We must have excitement and we must know and believe that God wants to change the hearts of people. He has the power to change people. You understand? I believe that God has the power to change that drunk, that drug addict. I believe it. I've seen it. I know He can. That's why I go with hope every day when I'm talking to people that Jesus can change your life if you'll let Him change your life. It's not a hope-so thing. Like, I hope it'll happen. It's a no-so. I know Jesus will change the lives of people. I just don't know the church has confidence anymore. Maybe it's been a long time since you've seen Jesus change the life of someone. Some of the things that we do when we go into a city, that we try to preach hope and tell people about Jesus, is we promote stuff. We promote our church. I believe in having your church logo on about everything you can come up with. The 180 Church is the church we started over in Clarksville. 180 represents repentance. We wanted the people in that area to know that when you turn to follow Christ, you follow Him, you do a 180. And one guy, he came to our church, and they started attending until they moved away. And his wife said, "I'll be honest with you, when I came here, I wanted to come just because I knew it was a hot church, because 180 degrees, it was going to be hot up in there. And that's why I came to your church." I said, "Praise the Lord, whatever it took, you know, to get them there." But man, we went crazy on stuff, and we still do. We did frisbees and the beanies and the stickers on the back of our cars, the flags that we put up. We put our logo and web address on sunglasses and coasters and cornhole boards and all kind of clothes. My daughter has like 25 different shirts with a church logo on it. We do long sleeve, short sleeve, three-quarter length sleeves, hoodies. You put one on your dog and you see it, people just are so attracted to it. So here's what P.T. Barnum said. You remember Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus? He said, without promoting something, terrible happens. Nothing. So what we have settled for in the church is not promoting our church. We don't promote our church. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible teaches us that in the end of time, you can look what John wrote, we win. Just in case, y'all didn't know that. We win in the end, okay? We are the conquerors. We need to promote what Jesus set out to do and what he's doing today. Because we still have the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. We got it. So, without promotion, here's what happens in our church. Nothing. Somebody here is promoting something, because when I pulled up, I saw signs everywhere. I knew something was going on. And I've already seen several advertisements of things going on. But the promotion can't just be on this campus here. It's got to be you taking it to the world. You've got to promote what God is doing in your life. Now, when you start promoting things in your life, here's what's going to happen. This young man on the top right, he's on the left there. He's got the Alabama cap in the bottom right. It's all the same guy. He's in all these pictures. I met him when I moved to Colorado to start a church out there. His name's Armin Jordan. When we start promoting and we care about people, you're going to change the lives of people like this in ways that you have no idea what God will do. Let me tell you a little story about Armin. I met Armin. He was studying Buddhism. Any of y'all Buddhist? No? You know what Buddhism is? I do too. It's what I see at the Chinese restaurant, the guy out there is like that. I don't know a whole lot about it. But look, I wasn't intimidated because I didn't know a lot about Buddhism, but I did know about Jesus. You just need to know about Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. You need to know about Jesus, and you need to know how to share Jesus. Your story. It's your story. Nobody can change your story. However you got saved, that's your story. Armin said, I don't want to go to your church because only people I know go to church are a bunch of hypocrites. You ever heard that before? Well, here's what I told Armin. Well, you go to church with them or go to hell with them. Which one do you want to do? He thought, well, maybe I need to try to go to church. And I began to talk to him. He started going to our church. And by the way, let me tell you how I did this. I wanted to show interest in him, and I wanted to brag on him. I didn't want it to be like, you're a sorry dog going to hell, you're not a Christian, all this kind of stuff. I said, you got a family? Can I see pictures? He showed me pictures of his kids. I was like, dude, just you got some good-looking kids, and they were just so cute. I wish y'all could have seen them back then. They've grown up. Now they're ugly. Right here they are now, especially that boy right there. He's so ugly. But I started bragging on him, so he started liking me because I'm bragging on his kids. So he did start coming to our church, and guess what? He did get saved. Then he felt like that God had put a desire in his heart to preach and to do mission work. Today he's preaching in, I don't know if it's today or like yesterday or tomorrow, but on Sunday of this week in Tokyo, Japan, he's preaching over there. He just got back 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago before he went to Tokyo from Uganda, where the 180 Church and Pastor Brian, they went over there looking at land to purchase to start a ministry over there. Where is the picture on the left? Top is AJ and Kelly, who are converts from Utah, who went over there with Mormon money that the Mormons, you know, put money aside for the kids to do their mission, and his granddaddy let him take that money with the 180 Church and go to Uganda. So now we're partnering with them as well. 24/7 Church is partnering with 180 Church and the work in Uganda, and we're going to help reach the people in Uganda. And Armin is down in Cuba and Mexico. He is on the bottom left there, too. You'll see his two kids I pointed out to on the left. They're also both students at the Bible College. Who would have thought that sending a church planter to Colorado would see all this happening right now? He's leading a team, E-team, for his fourth year, maybe? E-team, fourth year in a row. When I met this guy, he was studying Buddhism. He was a sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing drunk. I'm telling y'all. But Jesus changed his life. He didn't just save him to be a pew warmer. He saved him to get out and reach people for Christ, because that's what Jesus does when he saves you. He gives you a desire that he has so people will be saved. I don't understand when I look at churches and I see people that have no desire to see people saved. They have no desire to win people to Christ. They're not burdened for lost people. I don't understand, except this. Something is missing. And you need to search your life today and say, what's missing in my life? Why don't I want to talk to people? Why am I not busy? We've got people that since we've moved to Sevierville, that we're meeting at the bank, at Lowe's. We just met a guy, it's David, right? At Lowe's? David. We're building a relationship. By the way, if you keep going back to the same places, you're going to build relationships with people. So frequently visit places so you'll see the same people and you can go to. The lady that closed in our house. I'm telling you, I got some amazing stories. God is wanting to do the work through us. It's not us doing the work. You understand that? I'm no different than anybody here. You better understand that. I'm just willing to see it. I'm not closing my eyes. You got to see what God's wanting to do. I got to hurry up, though, but let me keep going. Okay. Man, I got too many stories to tell you. Get you out of here by 1 o'clock. This lady here, her name is Stacy. Now, Armin had gotten saved, okay? So just follow along with me on this journey. Armin gets saved, and we're taking our kids to church camp. We lived in Colorado, beautiful Rocky Mountains. We were on the western slope, and we lived in Grand Junction. We were taking kids the other side of Montrose to church camp. On a Sunday afternoon, we were driving back home. Paula and my youngest daughter was in the back seat. Armin, who'd recently got saved, was in the front seat with me in our minivan. We're driving down the road, going back home on a Sunday afternoon, trucking along, and there's Stacy on the side of the road in a van with a flat tire. And I did just like Brother Rodney would do. I assessed the temperature. It's hot outside. I assessed what I'm wearing, dress clothes. I assessed the difficulty it would be getting that tire off and how hot I'd get and how dirty I'd get and where I need to be later on. So I did what you would do and all other preachers and Christians. I prayed, Lord, help her send somebody by to change that tire. You know, we can pray and God will answer. Well, God answered, and my wife said, now what if that had been me or one of the girls on the side of the road with a flat tire? Wouldn't you wanted somebody like us to have stopped? Easy for her to say who's going to be sitting in the back in the air-conditioned van while I'm out there changing the tire, right? You ladies agree? Like it's real easy for y'all to say that. Yeah. She wasn't going to get out there and change it. So I turned around down the road, and I went all the way back, and I turned around again. I came back, and I pulled over, and she was still there. I was hoping she had already had somebody help her, and she's still by herself. Armin and myself, my new convert, we walked up to her like we were some macho men, you know, like, macho man, you know, and we're going to change her tire. And she's like, you can't. I got the lug wrench won't fit, aftermarket wheels. I said, let me go get mine out of my van because I'm sure it'll fit. It's different and different size. I'm sure it'll fit. So I go back there, and I'm getting ready to put my lug wrench on because God had sent us by. We all have to believe, right? We must have faith, the grain of a mustard seed. So I put that lug wrench on, and it spun around, and it did not work. And I'm like, hallelujah, I don't have to change this tire, you know, praise the Lord. I didn't want to change it, I ain't going to lie to you. But I needed to be submissive to what God wanted. If he wanted me to change it, I was going to change it. I said, ma'am, I can't change your tire, but I'd like to invite you to our church. Here's my card. So she took the card out of my hand, and she began to look at it, and she began to read. It said, Westgate Free Will Baptist Church. It said, where people with a past have a future. She began to cry. Now, you got to understand, here's what happens to us. God goes before all of us and prepares the heart of people before we go. You understand? Me stopping on the side of the road, handing her a card, just what I was supposed to do, but God was doing the work already. So she gets that card, she reads it, where people of the past have a future. She begins to think about people in her life that has a horrible past. She goes home and she starts inviting some of her family to church. That very next Sunday, I had 10 of those people right there in our little mission church because of one stop on the side of the road, I didn't even change the tire. So you imagine in your church today if you had 10 people show up, brand new people, and all of those people on that screen, since that day we stopped on the side of the road, has heard the gospel. Many of them have been saved. Hallelujah. Many of them are still serving the Lord today. Some of them, this particular couple right here, was Stacy's sister. And when she got that card and she read where people of the past have a future, she began to think about Ted and Shauna. Because Shauna was in jail that day that we stopped on the side of the road. She couldn't have come to church if she'd wanted to. By the way, Shauna and Ted did not have custody of those kids because the state had taken them away from them because they had been involved in making, selling drugs. It got caught up with them, and here, this picture, they look a lot better, but they got locked up, and the next week after Stacy came to our church, she took that card to the jail and gave it to Shauna. Shauna took the card from behind bars and began to cry. Stacy said to Shauna, "I think I found a church that won't care about your past." You know, the world, the lost folks out there, they have this idea that if they come into a church like this, they won't be accepted because maybe their past. And it's crazy that people would think that when we serve a God that says, "I will not remember your past." How is it that people outside the church believe people inside the church that serve a God that say, "I will not hold those things against you"? Why would they think we would? Who has sold that to them? So we must improve on that and let people know. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter. Jesus will take you where you are in your life and give you a bright future. She gets out of jail. She comes to our church. She walks down the aisle. She gets saved. Two or three Sundays later, she's in a Sunday school class, and we're needing some help in the kids' class. And I said, "Hey, Shauna, do you mind helping us in the kids' class upstairs?" And she said, "You want me to help in a Sunday school class?" Absolutely. We learned from Ted and Shauna later on why that she had turned to drugs, because she had tried church, but the church turned her away. You know why the church turned her away? Because she had had an abortion. And church people, see, we hate people that have abortions, don't we? We hate people that have abortions. We shouldn't hate people that have abortions. We should hate abortions. But we hate people that have abortions. We call them all kind of nasty names. "You murderer! You sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing person!" How are we going to reach people with that attitude? You're not going to, I'm going to tell you that. But when we love people in spite of their sin and we give them hope in Jesus that He will use them, you'll see people like them come to know the Lord, marriage restored, workers for Christ. And when we moved to Clarksville, Tennessee, this family from Colorado supported your Tennessee mission work in Clarksville, Tennessee, every single month, because they knew what God had done in their life and changed them. Now I put this picture up. This guy right here, guess where he's from? Goldsboro, North Carolina. Know anybody from Goldsboro? Yeah. Are you from Goldsboro? He grew up in Goldsboro, went to Goldsboro High School. His name is Tony Worrell. You ever heard of the Worrell family? There are a lot of athletes there. His mom still lives there. I met Tony. Man, we were refereeing basketball, 6'10", just a wonderful guy. Can I tell you why I put this on my screen? Because I want y'all to look around y'all's church. Look around everybody. You have one gentleman over here. I'm not have to point you out, you stand out, you know, but your skin's a little darker than ours. And can I tell you, that's a shame. Not that his skin's darker than ours, but because you're the only black guy here. And we're okay with that. Why are we okay with that? Why don't we have more people of different race in our churches? Free Will Baptist, why don't we, as Free Will Baptist, why don't we reach out more? Because we're okay. We're okay just reaching white people. We use the excuse, "Well, their worship style is different than ours." Listen, lost African Americans are no different than lost white people. They don't have a worship style. They have no worship style at all. And I like to tell about Tony because he and I became like best buddies. We were tight. We loved each other. We loved talking about Bojangles chicken. We loved talking about it. We loved sweet tea and Bojangles chicken. We loved basketball. Tony got saved, got in our church, and man, he started some ministries in our church. He would get men's ministries going where he would just find somebody in need in a neighborhood that we could go out and work, and he'd invite all the men to his house, cook breakfast for us, and then we'd go out and serve. We'd do it once every couple of months. It wasn't very often, but it was enough to where we knew how to get to his house for sure. I wish I could bring Tony in here today so you could hear his testimony. But he died of a massive heart attack. I wonder how many other African-American men are out there today, maybe driving by this road, that you've never tried to reach, that's going to die and go to hell. Maybe because of that skin barrier. Now, just so you know, I didn't know if y'all would have 1 or 100 African-American people here today, but I say it everywhere I go. Shame on all of us. We talk about building a wall in Mexico more than we talk about building relationships with the illegals that are here to win them to Christ. We are serving USA and not God. That's a problem, church. We are involved in Fox News more than we are in the New Testament or the Old Testament. We talk more about politics. We jump on the bandwagons. What about Jesus? Can I just ask you why he didn't dominate our conversation? People like Tony are going to die and go to hell, and we're going to wonder what's happened. This guy here, Hispanic, his name is Daniel Rojas. I like saying it like that. I like to roll my tongues. Rojas. We have their picture on our refrigerator. Their picture shows up everywhere at our house. You remember earlier I said that the Lord goes before us? I know it's time to go, but I got to tell you this story. Daniel and Amy are from the state of Washington. Prosser, Washington. They have two little boys, David and Roman. We have these events in the city where our church goes and ministers. We'll make animal balloons and different things of that nature, try to meet people. The night before I met Daniel, he takes his little boy, he puts him to bed. Little David looks up at his daddy and says, "Hey, where does my grandma and grandpa, what's going to happen to them when they die?" Now, Daniel, not being in church, not knowing how to answer it, he goes back to the living room. He tells his wife, Amy, he said, "Hey, we need to find a church. The boys are asking questions. I don't really know how to give them the answers. We need to find us a church to go to." She said, "Okay, we'll start looking. We'll get online," that kind of thing. The very next morning, they go downtown Clarksville to a family event, which is very important that your church is involved in things of your city where there's going to be families. They get out of their car. They walk up to the very first booth they saw. The kids were attracted to the face painting that the church was doing and animal balloons. The kids run to get their face painted and get balloons, and Daniel's standing there, and I see something that's very familiar to me. He had on an Alabama cap. So I walk up to him, and I said, "Roll Tide." He said, "Sir?" I said, "Roll Tide." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Boy, where are you from?" He said, "I'm from the state of Washington, sir." Very polite. I said, "So you're not familiar with the Roll Tide?" And he said, "No, sir." I said, "But you have on an Alabama cap." He took the cap off. He said, "Oh, no, sir. You see that lady over there? Her name's Amy. That's my wife. She bought me that A for Amy." I'm like, "Oh." You understand, though, it starts, the Holy Spirit went before me that night before. It takes somebody looking for a way to start a conversation with somebody, Alabama. And then I go on to say, "You ever think about going to church?" And he says, "As a matter of fact, last night we were talking about it." And I said, "Well, I believe that the Lord brought us together for a purpose. And I guess I'll see you at church tomorrow." They started coming to our church. A few weeks later, they got saved. Then he answered a call to preach. He's traveling. He's been to different churches, sharing his testimony, preaching. He's a wonderful student of God's Word. He got out of the army. He's still in the guard because he loves his country, and so do I. I mean, I love our country. I love our servicemen. I don't belittle that at all. Understand that. I'm just a Christian before I'm an American. Yeah. And by the way, just so you know, God is not American. I know y'all hate to hear that. Like, yes, he is. He is American, but he's not. So Daniel got out of the army, started attending Welch Bible College, getting a degree so he can start a church as well. Do you think it's a value to send church planters to plant churches? I do. I wonder where Daniel would be had we not answered the Lord's call and left sunny Florida to move to Clarksville, Tennessee. Where would he be today? Well, today their family is up and running, and if they die today, they have it in their will that my wife and I get those two boys. We're pretty happy about that. You know, we're thinking maybe they're getting sick or whatever. It's like, oh, you feel bad? Too bad. But we love them tremendously. That's just a picture of the church there in Clarksville if you haven't seen it. There it is. This is one last story and I'm going to quit. This guy here, he was over the supervisor. He was the supervisor of the building of the church. His name's Stephen Ross. Stephen, just like all the other guys, he come into church. I met him on the building, you know, and realized that he had some needs in his life and began to build a relationship with him. He started coming to our church, turned his life around, did a 180, started serving God. He goes home after he makes a decision to serve the Lord. He takes all the alcohol out of his house. It filled up the tailgate of his pickup truck, bottle by bottle, can by can. He poured it out. It killed a big old spot in the grass in his yard. And, man, just a tremendous guy. I did what you did. You know how you invite everybody to church, to your house in July? I did it one Sunday morning for Sunday night. Like I said one Sunday morning, like today, like, hey, everybody come to the house tonight. And there were 300 people at church that morning. And they were coming over at 5, and my wife had no idea. Yes. We had 108 people showed up that night. Stephen showed up at 2 o'clock with chairs and tables in the back of his truck to help set up. I mean, he became a helper like you wouldn't believe. He was always one of the first people there to greet people. He'd open the door for everybody when they come in, shut the door. You know, when they left, he'd open the door, see you on your way, whatever. He helped me lock up, take care of things. He tried to fix things at the church that was broken, anything like that he could do. Well, he felt like God was calling him to preach. Now, if you want to have a bunch of guys answer a call to preach, under you, you just need to preach bad like I do. And everybody there, all the guys are like, I can beat that. And God says, well, do it. That's how I got a lot of guys wanting to be preachers. So anyway, Stephen, there he is. Last year, you know, they're getting really excited, feeling like God's calling to preach, and the two boys there. And then on 4th of July last year, so almost a year, I get a phone call and a text saying, hey, you need to come down to the hospital. It doesn't look good. Stephen's at the ER. By the time I get to the ER, about 50 people from the church is in the lobby area there. They take me back, and he had already passed away. So the guy you're looking at that poured his life into me after he got saved texted me every Monday, Pastor, I love you. If there's anything you need, please let me know. He would always let me know. I'm here to help you. It's hard to find guys like that, isn't it? I could have probably punched him in the neck and he'd have loved me. He would have. I took him when he killed his first deer. Set him up good. I got so many memories of him. Can I tell you something? When you win people to Christ and you influence them, there's a special relationship you have. Some of you are missing that. You never know how it's going to come back to help you later on. You never know. You remember the lady Stacy I told you about earlier? When we moved to Clarksville, my wife and I had a lot of struggles in our marriage because she had taken care of her mom, Miss Staber. I don't know if you remember her, but she had glioblastoma. We had already had radiation and surgery, and she was having to take care of her like just all the time, around the clock. And my girls and me were traveling on the weekends. And once we got set up in Clarksville, our marriage struggled. We never had time together, and it was a bad, bad time. And we knew for us to be married and stay married, we were going to have to get some help. We prayed and asked God to send somebody to help us. And that lady that we met on the side of the road, Stacy, she moved from Colorado to Clarksville, Tennessee to help us take care of my mother-in-law so me and my wife's marriage could be restored, refreshed, be back where it needed to be. And sometimes we're begging, like, God, where are the people I need in my life? And can I tell you, they are there all the time, and we just pass them up so many times. God say, I sent that person that was going to help you in your marriage, they were on the side of the road and you drove by them that day because you didn't want to stop. You didn't want to get hot. That was the person that was going to help save your marriage, restore your marriage, and help you take care of your mother-in-law. There they were. The person that was going to encourage me when I get so discouraged in Clarksville, that would be there, Stephen Ross. He was there the whole time. Did you not see him? So many times, God's sending people in our lives to help us, but we're too busy. Oh, I know I got to go, but it's a cool story right here. Y'all want to listen to one more story? This is the last one. This is the last family picture I got up there. If y'all want to go, I won't tell it. If you want to just hear it, I'll stay and tell it. It's up to you. All right. I met this guy here. He was a construction worker. He was a drunk. He had multiple affairs. He was as at the bottom as bottom could be. He was an ex-professional wrestler. Fake wrestler, not the real MMA stuff. He was the fake kind, like, kind of thing. I did not realize when I met him that they had already filed for divorce. He comes up to me, hits me on the back of the head, and I'm like, dude, don't make me cut you right here. And I told him I wouldn't hit him back if he came to church the next day. He came to church that next Sunday. He left hating me. He didn't want to hear anything I said. He didn't like me. He just wasn't coming back. So his wife went back to Georgia because she had just brought the kids up to see him that weekend. She comes back the next weekend and says, hey, do you want to try another church? He says, no, let's go back to 180 again. She said, but you said you didn't like that church. He said, well, I don't know. Let's just go back. There's some guys I like there. Let's go back. So they came back. He left, and he hated me worse. I mean, there was just more to it. He didn't like me. Same thing happened. She goes back to Georgia, comes back the next weekend. They're starting to get along a little bit better. They've been in church together 2 weeks in a row. The next week's Father's Day. I have a message I've preaching about fathers being men of God and standing up for what's right. He left that day and he got me in the back and he said, can I talk to you? So I grab another police officer in our church and we go to the back and he sat down and he began to cry. That anger, God began to work in his heart. And he said, I need Jesus in my life. He accepted the Lord that day. God has blessed his family tremendously. When I left Clarksville, Brian Lewis became the pastor, who was my associate pastor. We needed somebody to be the children's pastor. This guy stepped up. Now, you heard what I said about his past, right? He'd had multiple affairs. They had already filed for divorce. He was a drunk, construction worker, good for nothing, scoundrel. Do you realize that's what we all are without Christ? There's none of us any better than anybody else. We're all scum. We're all that way. Don't anybody think you're any better than anybody else. Once he got Jesus in his life, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Jesus' blood cleansed this young man of his sin. Justified him. Redeemed him. This guy now is answer call to preach. He just made a big move in his life. He just moved to Missoula, Montana to help the Hamptons and starting a church out there. You tell me God's not good and God's not still able to forgive and help and use people. It's tremendous what God can do. Can I tell you something? God will use you as well. You just got to be willing. Just say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. We're asking for some families to move over to Sevierville to help us. We want you to pray for the Newlands, too, that they'll get their fundings done that they needed so they can. Because right now we're kind of in limbo. I'm meeting people almost every day. Every week I've got two or three different people that's interested in our church. When are y'all meeting? I don't know yet. You know, we got to get JD's funding, and we're waiting on that. And once we get that, you know, we're going to try to rent a place. So we're starting to look right now. And we need churches that will partner with us, too, on needed items that we have, because we've got several things we need. If your church, you know, one thing I'm doing right now, I don't know where your financial state is. In my last newsletter, I'm right asking every church just to try to give 10% of what they have in savings. I know that sounds crazy, but a lot of churches have a lot of money sitting in savings. If they give 10% of savings, we could buy a building and land. So several things we need there. Here's the faith promise card that JD handed out earlier, or Kayla handed out. If you're not familiar with that, there it is. What we're asking people to do is support them monthly and do it through drafting your account. You can put that, like North American Missions, draft your account each month. Put your name clearly printed on there with the address. And that says my name up there, but theirs are just the same. So they can count on you. Now, you saw that list of things that we're asking him to do. I don't know that he'll do all that stuff, but my job is to make sure he does all that. So I have a full-time job. But my job and my calling and giftedness is different. You see, I feel like God has gifted me and called me to meet these people, evangelize, bring them to Christ. JD's job is different. Although we're all commanded to do that, it's different. I spend a lot of time thinking and reaching out. And you can ask my wife, I'm constantly talking to people. I spend a lot of hours out visiting people. And that's what we have to do. So, but we need JD and Kate. I need you to understand too, they're going to be supervised. They've never done this. But they're, and ask, I can be aggravating sometimes. I'm fixed to get harder on them too. I can be mean. Okay? I just don't want you to think they're going to be over there going to Dollywood every day. I want you to understand that. Kayla will have a job. JD will have a job. And we'll be working our job. So I cannot take good people's money and not work. I cannot do that. It's just not fair. And so anyway, if you would love to do that and support them, fill that card out. Give it to them on their way out. Don't put an offering plate. Walk up to them and give it to them. Give it to Kayla or JD and say, hey, you can count on my family. All right, I grew up where you give a man your word, you shake their hand, you look them in the eye, say, you can count on us. Make that relationship with them where they can do that. And it says, the latter part, I never got that. How should they hear in whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach except they be sent? This is the part where you can send. Now, this is back to my family, and I've talked to you about the girls, I've talked to you about Paula. Now, I've talked to you about people that we've been able to reach. There's so many more stories I could tell you. But I want to ask you now for this, because we're getting ready for the invitation. I don't know how y'all want to do this. Somebody play, you want JD to play, or JD, you come play, and you got that, is that right? JD, come on up and start playing something, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Because I've mentioned several things about God speaking to your heart and using you. Here's what I want to ask you. Do you think there's somebody in your neighborhood that needs to know Jesus? I'm just asking. Do you think there's somebody in your neighborhood that needs to know Jesus? You think there's somebody you work with that needs to know Jesus? Do you think there's somebody you see at Walmart that needs to know Jesus? Do you think there's people around you that's never heard about Jesus? Absolutely. Can I ask you, who's going to tell them? That's where it's me and you. That girl had tattooed on her arm. Everything happens for a reason. And a preacher drives up in her driveway. God has placed you, a born-again believer, in your neighborhood, on your job, for a reason. It is not for you to make a living. It is not a house that you just live in. It is so you can be a blessing to the Almighty God by telling about His Son that came into your heart and saved you. There's a purpose He has in your life. If He's finished with you, you'll be dead. But He's got a purpose for you. Will you live out that purpose Jesus has for you? Will you share Jesus with the world? It's going to start by you coming today to this altar and praying for strength. Because as soon as you decide, I'm going to do this, the devil's going to try to stop you. He will try to stop you, and many of you will listen to him. I'm going to promise you something, though, today, too. Greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me than is in the world. So the God that's challenging you today, not me, the Holy Spirit that's moving you saying, I need to do this, He is greater than the one that's going to try to stop you. And you can overcome this world. You can overcome the fear that's in your heart that's crippling you from doing what God wants you to do. Some of you may have loved ones, a brother or sister, mother, father, son or daughter that need Jesus. You say, I just don't seem to be able to penetrate their heart. I've tried and tried. I've tried everything. Then try it again. The God I serve has taught me not to give up. Not to quit. I must persevere. I must continue. And so must you as well. So I'm going to ask you today, will you come? Will you pray? Will you ask God for strength and passion, courage, the words to tell your story? Will you let him change your life today?